Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
All right, it's time to roll out the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but hey, swing on over there on a daily basis just to see what's going on. You never know what's going to pop up or what might happen over there. So get on over there and check that out. So, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit the link, follow it over the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, I got to ask you right off the bat here. Antonio Brown lost his appeal. You know, his grievance was denied. So, does he retire?
I don't think he stands by his word.
You know, that was the threat, was if he didn't get his way, he would retire. So,
you know, he was just trying to follow Le'Veon Bell's terms here and thought maybe it would work in his favor this year.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, Bell was just looking for more money. You know, Brown's whole thing is just the hang-up with this helmet that for whatever reason he just doesn't want to seem to let go.
Well, you know, my favorite comments were, how is that really going to work when he's a Raider wearing a Steelers helmet?
Well, he painted it.
Oh, so it's not a style of helmet. It's specifically his Steelers helmet.
Yeah, it's the helmet. He's been wearing this helmet for the last 10 years. So while it was obviously painted like a Steeler helmet, he went out and had it repainted to look like a Raider helmet.
So I don't understand what the NFL is thinking about it then.
It no longer meets the safety requirements that the new helmets they have meet.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, because obviously they've upgraded the helmets over the last 10 years. So, you know, they were grandfathered in last year, so he was allowed to wear it. This year, there's no longer that clause, and they want everybody to go to the new helmet. You know, like Tom Brady doesn't like the new helmet either, but like he kind of said, well, what choice do I have? And he's going to wear the helmet where, you know, Antonio Brown is going to be the one to try to, you know, cause the issue here and try to, you know, try to force the NFL's hand. And I just, you know, I mean, in reality, it just seems stupid to me because, I mean, for years we've been talking about the NFL being safer. You know, it needed to be safer for players. So they make it safer, and this guy doesn't want to wear the equipment that makes it safer.
There's no kind of waiver that would hold up in court.
See, I was wondering that, too, if they could get him to sign something saying that, you know, if injured, he wouldn't sue, and then he would also waive his right to any kind of suit that he might have down the road. You know, like if he has a long-term injury, because, you know, they just went through settling with all the guys who, you know, had CTE. You know, all the former players, and they went through all that stuff. So I would think there's got to be something, but then, you know, I guess they look at it as, you know, if you do it for this guy, well, then anybody who does this, you've got to do it for.
Pretty much. Well, I mean,
you know what I mean? With a helmet.
You know what I know? And I know it's the apples and oranges, but, you know, when it came to Major League Baseball and, like, chewing tobacco or whatever, you know, players, when they instituted that rule, were grandfathered in, and anyone who has come up since, you know, wasn't allowed to do so. But, you know, it's like I could see both ends of the spectrum now, where, like you said, with the whole safety issue, you know, so I mean, but for Antonio Brown, when you've got the poster boy for the NFL saying, what choice do I have, what makes him think he's really going to win this battle?
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the big thing for me. I mean, when Tom Brady says, okay, well, you know, if I've got to do it, I've got to do it, who's going to care, you know, that Antonio Brown wants to wear this helmet? You know, absolutely nobody. So, you know, but, you know, like I said, I just want to know now if he's got the Canuck to, you know, follow through on what he said and retire.
But either way, it would be safe, right? If he wears the helmet, he'll be safer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if he retires, he'll be the safest because he won't get hurt at all.
He will be completely safe. So, you know, so yeah, that's, you know, that's my big now is, I mean, I guess the way to look at it is the NFL kind of called his bluff. You know, he said he would retire. He lost the grievance. So now let's see if, you know, if he'll actually follow through with the retirement part of it.
Yeah, is this what makes the difference between a player-led league like the NBA and the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, the NBA doesn't have to deal with stuff like this. I mean, they're, you know, obviously, you know, there's a risk of injury, obviously, but, you know, concussions aren't prevalent in the NBA like they are in the NFL. So, it's a much easier situation. You know, and at that in the NBA, I mean, LeBron would just come out and make a statement and that would be the end of it. So. But, yeah, so that, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see where he goes or what he tries next. And, you know, I almost feel bad for John Gruden because John Gruden's got to come out and deal with all this crap and, you know, talk about how he supports, Antonio Brown and, you know, well, we'll do whatever it takes and, you know, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I mean, he doesn't really have a choice but to say these. So, you know, that's just kind of how things work out, you know. And then the other NFL player who I'm under the impression is either going to be out of work here really soon or this would be his last year in the NFL is going to be Kenny Stills. Remember, you and I talked about him a little bit last week. He had a problem with the Dolphins owner throwing a fundraiser for Donald Trump. Well, apparently, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to let this go. You know, he was another guy who put coach in an awkward position by saying, you know, I don't remember what he actually said, but, you know, the coach is Brian Flores. Oddly, the Dolphins are one of the few teams in the NFL that not only have a black head coach, they also have a lot of minority front office people, which is a big rarity in the NFL. So, you know, you've got a rich owner that supports Donald Trump, but yet he seems to do a lot of minority hiring. So I don't know how much, you know, okay, I get it. Stills is upset that they had the fundraiser for Trump. That's, you know, that's his prerogative. It's that, if that's what you want to do, that's great. But it's the owner's choice, right? I mean, what does it matter if the guy's upset? I mean, I'm sure there are more players besides, there are more people besides Kenny Skills that he was upset that there was a Trump fundraiser. So why do we care about this one guy, Dan?
I don't know. I mean, because that's how the media goes. You know, it's easier to take the opposite side of Trump than to stand with him. So, you know, that's like with comedy right now. You know, it's hard to listen to comedians who immediately just go on the defensive and, you know, start cracking a joke on a Republican president, because I'm like, well, you're going to take an easy shot. I mean, it's not that hard to do to begin with. Why don't you come up with some real material? Maybe I'll finish watching your Netflix special. But here, I want to laugh. I don't want to get all political. And it's kind of the same thing with the NFL. I mean, you know, I'm going to watch the game for the football. And I don't care what the owner, you know, votes or how the owner votes or who we vote fundraisers for.
Right.
Nor do I care what the players think. And number two, if he's so upset about it, why is he playing for a team in Florida, which is predominantly a Republican state? Why doesn't he come play
right.
for
well,
the
you
Bears?
Know,
where,
you know, well, those are,
time,
you know, my other questions, if this bothers you so much, retire. Walk away. Do what Colin Kaepernick did. You know, I mean, he walked away. You know, and I mean, I got bad news for Kenny Stills. I mean, once he's done in Miami, if Colin Kaepernick can't get a job who is marginally more talented than Kenny Stills, then there's no way this guy is going to get a deal once he's done in Miami. And I'm wondering if that's part of his motivating factor to stay there, you know, is the fact that he does have another year on his deal. So, and again, we're talking about a guy who's complaining about white people who's going to make just a little under $8 million this year. So how much stock are we putting into a guy making $8 million and complaining? You know, what are you doing
yeah.
with your money to make a difference?
I don't know if I'll make that in a lifetime, will I? I don't think so.
Yeah, so not unless this podcast blows up, buddy. We, you know, hell, you and I ain't making that combined in a lifetime. You know, but yeah, I don't have a problem with, you know, hey, that's your opinion. You know, like he's saying he's still going to kneel for the national anthem. I don't care. You know, that's so far passe by now. I don't think anybody will even notice. So, you know, I mean, whatever. You know, and again, you know, you want to talk about your opinion. Okay, you're lucky enough to have a platform, but don't expect me to care. I mean, I don't care what your political beliefs are. All I care about you is, you know, are you going to be a fantasy value when I'm looking for a fourth wide receiver? You know, I mean, that's all I legitimately care about when it comes to him.
Is that part of the MO. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. It was awfully convenient when Kaepernick was benched by, you know, a white coach for a white quarterback, and all of a sudden he's going to cry about oppression in America. It's awfully convenient. Kenny Stills, you know, I'm trying to wrap my brain around where I know the name, and when he threw the wide receiver, I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, fourth option for a wide receiver. I picked him up on the waiver a few times over the last couple of years, but is that his way of generating interest in his name?
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder because, you know, if he wasn't doing this, nobody would give a crap about Kenny Stills. You know, the only thing they would be talking about is would the Dolphins be keeping him and carrying his salary? Because, you know, they look like they're in rebuild mode. So to carry a guy who's, you know, basically a third wide receiver making $8 million is a bit of a stretch for a rebuilding team. So. So, yeah, that was, you know. But, yeah, and then my other incredibly humorous NFL story, and this is, you know, this is one of the things that you always kind of point out where you leave some of the facts out to make sure the story is better. And I've heard the story on a couple different networks. Apparently, Tom Brady has put his house in the Boston area up for sale, Dan. You can have it for the low, low price of, I believe it's $40 million. So in case you and your wife are interested in moving there, you know, that'll get you home. Now, of course, the media is jumping all over this because he's selling this house means this is his last year with the Patriots, and he's going to either retire or he's going to be playing for somebody else. And, oh, my God, Dan, we're all up in arms. You know what nobody has bothered to mention here with this, Dan? That I think is incredibly humorous. The Bradys, Tom, Giselle, and their children, own two other houses in the Boston area.
Why would you leave that out?
Yeah, so while, yes, you're, you know, because obviously it ruins him leaving because, yeah, okay, they're selling one house. And, I guess somebody pointed out, I believe this is the house that's closest to the stadium, so his commute will be a little longer. Oh, whoopee. Like he's driving himself anyways, you know. I'm sure they got somebody who goes and picks him up. But, yeah, I just thought, you know, it was like the dumbest thing, and I heard two or three reports about it until one of the guys who was on another show finally broke in and said, yeah, but don't forget, he's got two more houses in the Boston area. So what does one home sale mean?
He's trying to pay less taxes?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just kind of like, okay, could this be, you know, I mean, like, they took every indication to make it seem like, oh, my God, he's leaving. I can't believe, you know, what are the Patriots going to do? This is going to be his last year. Oh, no, they're, you know, we're all up in arms, and he'll be a free agent. You know, this means he's going to go play someplace else. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. You know, it's just you were desperate for a story, and you figured if you left this out, maybe nobody would check your facts. And hey, you know, there you go. Morons.
Now, I mean, I know neither you or I know him personally, or you know, whatever. But do you peg him for somebody who's going to pull a Brett Favre and say go play for the Giants 1 year?
No. No, he'll never have the success anywhere else that he had with the Patriots. And unlike Brett Favre, I don't think Brady wants to tarnish the legacy that he's made. So, you know, there's something about the combination with, you know, him, Bill Belichick, and Josh McDaniel that really works. And to go, and especially now, I think he's 42. You know, I mean, could you see a 43-year-old Tom Brady playing quarterback for, I don't know, the Jacksonville Jaguars?
No.
So I think he knows better. And, you know, you also got to remember, okay, he's in the last year of his deal. Do you honestly think the Patriots aren't going to do everything they can to keep him around? You know, they understand what they have. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, well, just let him go. I mean, they dealt Jimmy Garoppolo to kill any controversy, you know, any quarterback controversy that there might be between the two as Garoppolo began to improve. So do you not think they're going to make sure Brady stays with the team? You know, it's like... You know, but I guess that's kind of, you know, Boston sports fan panic like Chicago, you know. So.
Yeah, well, you remember LeBron's agents put it out for sale. The next thing you knew, they were
yeah.
in Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, but LeBron didn't have, you know, two other houses in the area. So.
No. I mean, he could sell all of his houses. I still don't believe that he would leave the Patriots.
No, we'll never see Tom Brady in another uniform. Not a chance.
No.
So, but
I mean,
while we're here in Boston sports, I found this one really interesting. You and I have talked quite a bit about the Red Sox this year and their. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, the lack of wanting to spend money because of where they are. Now, interestingly, this apparently has put them in a spot where there is a possibility that this offseason we will see them have to deal Mookie Betts because they're not going to be able to give him the contract he'll be looking for. So what the hell is going on in Boston, Dan? I want to look here and see what we have. Is he when's Mookie hit free agency? Is it this year or is it? So yeah, no, it looks like he's got one more year of arbitration. So obviously he would have a lot of value. You know, he'll be in our arbitration 3. He was awarded $20 million this season. And while his numbers are down from, you know, last year, you know, he was the MVP and stuff. So, you know, his numbers are down from that. Rarely, if ever, does arbitration money actually go down. So he's going to go up over that $20 million mark. Not quite sure where the Red Sox sit against that salary cap, or not the salary cap, excuse me, the luxury tax. You know, it prevented them from adding any real value this year except Andrew Cashner, who sucks so bad. I just read an article that said they moved him to the bullpen. So that was a fantastic deal on their part. I don't know, Dan, if Mookie Betts is available, what do you, obviously he's going to the Yankees. What are the Yankees going to give up to get him? So did I kill Dan? I know he said he was, his phone was dying. Yeah, there he is. Let me bring him back in. There you go. All right, Dan, what are the Yankees giving the Red Sox for Mookie Betts?
Clint Frazier. One of the other guys.
Didi Gregorius.
Maybe, because he's close. I think he's done. I think his contract's up.
Looking at the Red Sox here, I don't assume Rick Porcello's coming back. He's a free agent after this year. You got Mitch Moreland, Steve Pearce, Brock Holt, and Brandon Workman all hitting free agency. My guess is the only guy out of that group they bring back would be Holt. I could see them just kind of letting everybody else go. And then you're looking at not only Mookie Betts, but Jackie Bradley Jr. and Sandy Leon are both a year away from free agency. Yeah, I don't know. You know, where are you at here, Dan? You see the Red Sox actually making this Mookie Betts move to save money, or is it possible they might try to do it with Jackie Bradley instead, who, you know, would be a little cheaper version, but it'll probably be up to $10 million next year?
I mean, would you rather try to move Bradley and keep Mookie?
Oh, you know, I mean, I think, you know, you would think you'd want to keep Mookie at all costs with the player he is, right? But, they are looking. I mean, they're carrying some big paydays. I mean, David Price is due $32 million till 2022. J.D. Martinez will make just under 24 next year before the salary drops. Chris Sale is at $30 million basically all the way through 2024. Xander Bogaerts' salary jumps to $20 million next year and stays there for the remainder of his contract. So, you know, they're sitting on a lot of money they, you know, can't get out from under. You know, they signed that really bad Nathan Eovaldi deal. He's got 3 years left on his contract. They still owe Dustin Pedroia for two more years.
And that kid, that huge kid, getting paid in the millions, could not be in the majors.
Right. Yeah, Rosen Castillo still has a year left on his deal. So, when you look at it, you know, Betts could be the best way to save money and get a good return. I mean, while you'll save some money dealing Bradley, you're not going to get a ton for him because while he is a great defender, he's never proven that he can be a consistent major league hitter. In all honesty, the only team that's shown any interest in Bradley the past couple of years has been the Cubs.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's giving up a couple single-A players would definitely help with that.
So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting dilemma the Red Sox have put themselves in. And what they're trying to avoid is they don't want to lose the draft spots. You know, it's if they go over this next luxury tax, it costs them 10 spots in the draft. That's what they're trying to avoid. So, Andrew Cashner has a vesting option. I'm sure they're hoping he doesn't hit that because then his salary jumps to $10 million. So, you know, you wonder now if maybe the move to the bullpen was to keep him under that vesting option. Of course, to be fair, he has sucked since joining the Red Sox. I thought I saw his ERA is 8. So, I want to double check that here.
Well, isn't it?
Yeah, in six starts, 1-4 with an 8.01 ERA.
Isn't it odd though that now he's no longer pitching against Boston? That the ERA went up. I mean, doesn't even make sense. Theoretically,
no. Yeah, for Cashner's option to bet, he has to reach 340 innings between this year and last year combined. He pitched 153 for the Orioles last year. He's only at 126 and two-thirds this year for the Red Sox, so he's not getting to that vesting option. So they're going to be able to get out from under that $10 million salary because, you know, with the way he's pitched, I can't see any reason for you to want to bring him back. So, you know, yeah, I mean, that'll get some money off the books. And I don't know. I just, you know, Mookie Betts is going to be 27. So, you know, you deal him for a bunch of stuff to restock the minors or, you know, I mean, what are you doing there, Dan, if you're Dave Dombrowski?
I mean, you're looking at him, but aren't you also looking at Bogart?
Well, Bogart's is signed through 2025, so he's not going anywhere.
Well, I guess in your with that kind of contract, you're not sending him anywhere either.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing, you know, with the numbers these guys have, you know, a lot of these guys just aren't going anywhere. You know, the prices, Martinez, Evaldi, Dale, Bogarts, and obviously Pedroia. Nobody's taking Pedroia because of the injury.
I mean, you pretty much painted them in a corner. Well, I guess not you. They put themselves in that corner with really no option if they don't. You know, I guess the sign is one thing, but losing those draft picks is totally another. MLB, you don't really trade draft picks to draft position like you do the NFL or NBA.
Yeah. You know, and then, you know, obviously, the Red Sox took another hit here when, you know, David Price got hurt, and I'll be surprised if he actually retains this year. You know, at this point with where the Red Sox are, it's probably just better to shut him down and figure out what your plan is. I know they also just put Michael Chavez on the DL, so you know that there's a another wonderful, you know, another one of their, you know, big surprises this year. You know, headed for the DL or IL, excuse me. I keep doing that, and I'll probably always do that. So, but yeah, they're 62-58, so they're hanging around 500. What are they? They are 16.5 behind the Yankees, and let's see where they are in the wild card right now. Come on, there we go. They are now 7.5 games out of a wild card spot, Dan. So it's over, right? You know, you just got to figure, you know, it's time for the Red Sox to kind of, you know, fold the tents, see what they got going on for, you know, for next year. I guess it is possible for them to make a run here, but I'm not counting on it. So, you know, especially with as bad as the pitching staff has been, you know, not just the starters, but the relievers as a whole, they just haven't been able to figure anything out, you know, and humorously, you know, like I got a really big chuckle out of it when they decided that Nathan Eovaldi would come back and be the closer. You know, they were given the role to a guy who had never closed before three of his last four outings. He's given up at least one run. So they're basically not even really grooming him as a closer. He's just working as a setup guy. So that was all kind of a fallacy on their part that they were going to, you know, work this in, and this was going to be their saving grace was, you know, he was going to come back and be the shutdown type closer. So, you know, yeah, just kind of looking at it. But I mean, you know, you start looking at their numbers, and I don't know why they only list four starters here for the Red Sox, maybe just because they've been piecemealing it, but really the fifth starter has been Andrew Cashner since they acquired him. Sales ERA is 4.41. Eduardo Rodriguez has the best ERA, and that's at 4.17. Porcello is 5.67, and Price, before he got hurt, was at 4.36. You add in Cashner's 8.01, and you got a hell of a rotation there. You know, the bullpen hasn't been much better, with the exception of Brandon Workman, who's got an ERA of 1.87. Marcus Walden is 3.30, which is okay. You can deal with that. Colton Brewer, who is back in the minors now, was at 4.31. Matt Barnes, who was supposed to be the closer, has four saves, is at 4.70. And then Ryan Brazier, who was supposed to split the closing role with Matt Barnes, is back in the minors and has an ERA of 4.46. So, yeah, it's been a bad pitching year, and you wonder how much you blame on the experiment they did in spring training where they didn't allow their guys to throw as much because they were coming off the World Series and they were worried about them, you know, going through. So, yeah, you know, I would start to kind of question those motives. But, you know, offensively, you know, I don't think there's as much power this year as last year. I seem to remember them hitting a lot of home runs. But, you know, like I talked about Jackie Bradley, he's hitting a whopping 218. So, you know, there's, you know, while he is a great defender, there's just no offense to really value him. But, you know, like Betts' year is down. Benintendi's year is down. You know, Mitch Moreland has had a rough year. J.D. Martinez is sitting at 27 homers. I think he was 40-plus last year. So, you know, the offense itself is, you know, taking a bit of a downturn. So it's just worked out that way.
Can I throw my spoil hat on and give you a nice one?
Yes.
So, you know, minor league baseball introduced major league balls into their system, and I forget the percentage, but it's like skyrocketed the amount of home runs that have been happening. So, little side note, everyone's getting way too excited for Ben Zobrist hitting a home run in single A at South Bend and then in double A in Myrtle Beach. NBC Sports has been overly, Chicago has been overly excited about these home runs. And I question, how does that translate to the MLB? Besides that point, though, my foil hat conspiracy theory is that this one would be Big Jack. Boston won the World Series, like you said, right? For whatever reason, since the Yankees did it at the turn of the century, we don't really get these back-to-back home run World Series champions. The only back-to-backs we've gotten were, you know, maybe a team that's lost and gone back. Maybe they were selective in who got the new balls. Maybe they all were shipped to New York and some didn't end up in Boston.
No, I think they just all went to Baltimore because the Orioles give up more home runs than anybody else. But
yeah,
so
true.
You know.
No, but conspiracy. It's a little stupid, but I just want to throw that out there. I mean, do you attribute that to just? I don't even want to put the hangover on. I heard some. Oh my God, ass backwards, ridiculous hangover theories about the Cubs from Cubs fans over the weekend. Listen to Chicago radio. And, I mean, I'm all good for, you know, some of that stuff, but, I mean, this guy was talking about that the owners in front office need to shut down alcohol completely in the off season and the celebration, because, you know, that one day of celebrating after they win the World Series, it's just really going to throw off the whole next season. I don't know. So there's a lot of that crap out there. But, I mean, do you attribute to that partly to, you know, just the way the game is played now, where you're just swinging for the fences all the time as opposed to swinging to get guys on base?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously that should equal more home runs. You know, because that's what guys are looking to hit every time they go up there. So, you know, I mean, it's just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, you know, it's, again, you know, that's the way it's taught now. That's what they're all going for. You know, hey, yay, here we go. This is what we've got. So, yeah, we live with that.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, I wish it's hard enough keeping up with the Chicago. But, you know, I catch my national games here and there, so I wish I had more to dive into the Boston situation. I just know for my fantasy players, I actually don't have a Bo Sox on my team, any of the teams I have this year, oddly, except for David Price, but you already went over that. I did have Jackie Bradley because I was like, oh, well, you know, he's always, like you said, great on the defense, and all his offense hasn't always, you know, really high. This year was just that year where I had to just forget about him after like a month.
Yeah.
So it kind of sucks. I like the guy. I like the kid. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, before you go on to where you were going, I kind of had a theory or a supposed rule change or if you made a GM for the day kind of thing. And I wanted to get your take on it. I was going to tweet you, but then I forgot. I forgot who it was, but you brought up the Orioles and giving up monster home runs. And was it the Orioles this weekend who lost by like 20 points?
Yes, they gave up 23 on Saturday.
So, you know, of course I was immediately going to tweet you that, you know, MLB needs to institute a slaughter rule and, you know, kind of go on that tandem. And then I thought immediately about what your response would be, and your response would be, that's never going to happen. Why? Because the owners will never allow it. They don't want to lose, you know, the gate, money, blah, 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 hand over fist, you know how that goes. Well, I'm sure it doesn't matter in Baltimore, but, you know, if they were they were giving it somewhere else, but, you know, that goes. So I did have a little thing. I wanted to get your take on it. So I still have trouble coming up with a number. Well, let's say you're Baltimore. You're the home team. Your team, you know, you're owned by the owner, obviously, or the group, however that goes. And your team loses by, I was thinking football numbers, but just going over two touchdowns. 15 points, maybe 14, I don't know. Maybe let's go with lucky number 13. If you get demolished by at least 13 points, which doesn't seem so horrendous in today's game, let's just go up to maybe 16 or 17. If your team closes the game in the ninth inning down by 17 points, now I knew this wouldn't happen, refunds aren't going to happen, but shouldn't every attending fan get a voucher for another game for free?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, that would be a nice, you know, a nice thing for a team to do.
Not even as a nice thing for the team to do, but I was thinking more along the lines of a punishment for that team. You know,
yeah.
Maybe, and, you know, and again, this will never happen because, like, you would respond immediately to me by saying the union would never allow it. But those players should maybe forfeit their payday for that day. And the reason I really thought about it, too, is because it stemmed from what you brought up last week. I forgot who it was that didn't want – I think it was the Orioles' first baseman just kind of trotted for a foul ball that he could have caught, but he didn't. You know, would that incentivize – them to keep playing harder, even though you're on a losing team, and maybe it's like a penalty for the team as a whole. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Should there be like a repercussion or something like that? I mean, because it is I get it. You can't control the amount of home runs, but at some point, you know, you got to imagine the guys in the pitching staff are like, what the hell? Let's just throw strikes, see what happens. Just throw some up there for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had a lot to cover there, but I'll tell you first,
yeah.
the two things I heard this weekend after that 23-2 game was that there should be a slaughter rule, except they call it a mercy rule. You don't use slaughter on the air. It's a mercy rule. And then somebody else proposed, like soccer does, that baseball adopt the relegation rule, where the worst team would go to AAA and the best AAA team would take their spot.
I like that. I've never, you know, I don't follow football, so I know about that.
You know, of course, the biggest problem with that is the fact that anybody on that best AAA team is contracted to another major league team. So you would have two Yankees or Cubs or Red Sox teams in the league, or, you know, whoever happened to have the best major league team. So there's no real way to apply relegation,
oh.
But I thought it was kind of interesting. They were all for the, you know, the mercy rule, but again, you know, they factor in a lot like the writers, where anything that's going to shorten the game and shorten their work day, they're all for. So,
yeah.
You know, they don't care about they don't care about fans, they don't care about games. What they care about is having the shortest work day possible. That's all they're looking for. So you've always got to kind of take their suggestions with a grain of salt. The other thing you talked about, guys hustling, you know, the one way to really cure it that will never happen because, again, you know, with where baseball is salary-wise and stuff, if guys got a base salary and they were paid on performance, the game would be a whole lot different.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, and that's why Manny Machado plays for the Padres and not the White Sox.
Right. You know, but, I mean, just imagine that if, you know, they had one sum where everybody's contract was, this is, you know, this is what you're going to get, and then all your incentives are layered in, you know, at bats, runs, hits, doubles, triples, homers, RBIs, you know, walks, stolen bases, whatever newfangled sabermetric stats you want to throw in. You know, this is how you start to add up your money by where you are at the end of the season. So, you know, that would change a lot of the way, you know, players are.
Yeah.
You know, but because obviously, I mean, you look at it, are Bryce Harper and Manny Machado worth the money they signed for?
No.
Maybe attendance-wise they are to the teams, but statistically, neither of those guys are $30 million a year players. You know, but yet, you know, this is going to be the new thing we see now. You know, these guys are gonna, you know, they're gonna hit the free agent market, and I don't know if there's anybody next year who's in that kind of that category, but you know, eventually we're gonna start to see these guys. And, you know, they're going to want this money or more.
You know, and you throw that out there, and as I'm thinking about it now, is this why we should secretly or openly all start rooting for the A's to win? Not jokingly, but, I mean, what you've described is everything the opposite of what the Oakland Athletics do. And they're winning.
Right. You know, yeah, well, because, you know, like, you look at it, I mean, looking at like, the big, probably the biggest name free agents next year are going to be pitcher. You know, you're looking at Madison Bumgarner. You're looking at Garrett Cole. Let me see if there's any other names that's going to jump out at me. Hyunjin Ryu, who's having a fantastic year, is going to hit free agency. Great time for him to finally stay healthy and make a big year. But, yeah, those three guys look like they're going to be the biggest names on the market right now. You know what they're going to want. You know, they're all going to want 5 years or 6 years and $150 or $180 million. Are you going there?
No.
You know? So it, you know, and this is, you know, obviously this is the path we're, you know, we're leading down. Imagine, I think, what is Bryant 2 years away from free agency? Imagine if he has, like, he's an MVP contender this year. He won't win it. But imagine if he wins another MVP before he gets free agency. What's he worth? $5 million a year?
And can the Phillies afford that?
Right. Well, allegedly, remember, they said they had stupid money last off season, and they didn't. They really only spent it on Harper. So, you know, and you just, you know, you've just got to kind of start, you know, wondering if or when this ever ends. I mean, you know, what happens when Aaron Judge gets the free agency? You know, the Yankees are going to have to make him a $30-plus million player. So,
yeah, fortunately for them, they've got some time since that re-sign or extension.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, we talked about Mookie Betts. He's got one more year of arbitration. What if he wins another MVP next year? What is he? That's two MVPs in 3 years. What does he ask for? $35 million? $40 million?
Well, when you're getting awarded $20 million plus in arbitration.
You know. I don't know how far away either of these guys are, but what the hell happens when Cody Bellinger and Christian Yelich get the free agency? Are they $50 million a year guys? You know, because they're still a little ways away. So, you know, I mean, just at what point does it end? You know, not even so much that the owners are colluding, but, you know, eventually nobody's going to go to these games because you won't be able to afford it.
Yeah. And it would be a hell of a lot cheaper to just buy MLB.TV.
Right. You know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, if you're a baseball fan, you know, watch it on TV. I mean, I know it's not the same, you know, as going to a game, but, you know, eventually you're going to get priced out of going to games. I mean, especially the, you know, the middle class and obviously the lower middle class. You know, there's just no place for you. You know, I mean, I guarantee you I couldn't afford to go to a game.
Well, if you went by yourself and didn't have to pay for parking or you didn't eat if you ate before you went.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, I mean, to have – you know, like the true ballpark experience I remember as a kid where, you know, I got a soda and I got a hot dog and then I always got a pennant. That's what I always wanted. I always wanted a pennant. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think just because I could hang up. But, you know, I would always get a Cubs pennant or a Sox pennant depending on which game we were at. Because we went to one of each every year because as I mentioned, my dad was a Sox, my Cubs fan, and my mother's side of family were Sox fans. So I got one game each from each team. But now, I mean, imagine, you know, and where I live, I pretty much have to drive. So I'm paying for parking. I'm buying a ticket. I buy a Coke. I buy a hot dog, and I get a pennant. What did I just spend at a game?
Almost $100.
Yeah.
Well, so, just to throw this out there, in Tampa Bay, I paid $18 for a souvenir soda and a large, you know, basically theater popcorn, which was probably $3 cheaper more than the freaking theater to begin with, which is why we sneak stuff in the theater. I mean, no, we don't, but $18 for popcorn and a... At least you can go up to the machine and fill it up as many times as you want it. I mean, that was, you know... Yeah.
Do you know how much popcorn I would be eating if that was the case?
I did get the popcorn filled. I got it filled before we left. And I filled my drink at least four times.
I just showed up with a freaking garbage bag and filled it up with popcorn.
Well, no, they would only fill your the bucket.
Oh, okay. Well, I could fill the bucket, dump it into a bag, and then make it continue to fill the bucket.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's just ridiculous. But, yeah, and then, you know, I watched a little bit of the Sunday night game on ESPN, the Mickey Mouse Network, as we call it here, and I couldn't figure out what happened to Jessica Mendoza. You know, and I was afraid they canned her or something, but apparently she was rear-ended Friday while she was out there. I guess somebody rear-ended her while they were going full speed. So she had to take the night off to rest, and apparently she's recovering just fine, and she should be back next week. But yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, I was like, oh man, did they get rid of her because they got tired of three people in the booth, or what happened? And then I saw the article today, and I was like, oh okay, well, you know, because I actually like her. I think she does a really nice job. You know, I know a lot of people are against her. I've seen the tweets and stuff, and mostly it's just hard-ass males who can't deal with a woman in the booth. But, you know, I think she does a good job, and she's worked hard to learn the game. So I'm glad to see she's still there and recovering. You know, and then, you know, Dan, just, you know, I know we only got a couple minutes left, but I wanted to bring this up. I don't know if you've caught highlights of this, but this is something you and I never talk about. But if you get the chance, Dan, I'm thinking that the greatest athlete in the world today may actually be a female gymnast. I don't know if you saw the move Simone Biles pulled off yesterday at the gymnastics event she was at, but in her floor exercise, she did a double flip with a triple twist, I believe is how they described it. So imagine that. You twist three times in the air and do two flips. And then coming off the balance beam for her routine, she did a double flip, which I believe neither of them have ever been done. So if you get a chance, get online and check that out. And, you know, maybe someday your daughter will be a gymnast.
Radio.com.